24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow. Bling. New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know. Now I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone. Okay. Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow. And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by the bookkeeper, 247.com. Welcome back to our first episode of Season 2 of the Mitch Darrell Show with special guest Danielle Apicella. We would like to thank everyone, including our new listeners, for joining us. In Episode 2 of Season 2, how does an introverted music artist who dislikes social media and is also learning how to perform sign to a major record label? Well, Mitch Darrell dives into the interview with Reflection Music Group artist Danielle Apicella to discuss just that. Also, Mitch Darrell and Danielle Apicella discuss her devotional in the YouVersion app, her music, and what's next for Danielle Apicella. It's a great interview, so tune in to find out more about your favorite artist with your favorite host. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the dopest show in hip-hop, The Mitch Darrell Show.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Darrell of The Mitch Darrell Show. This is Season 2, Episode 2, and I have a very special guest today. Her name is Danielle Apicella, and honestly, I don't think I've been more excited about an interview other than maybe a couple. Like, one, because I think we tried to plan this back in, like, December, and I know you're busy, so I knew it kept getting pushed back, but I'm like, I am so, like, I kept building up more and more anticipation, so now that I have you, thank you for joining me. And how are you doing?
I'm great. Awesome. Excited to talk.
Cool. So we're going to dive right into it. So I want to ask you questions that are kind of going to be geared towards people who might either have not heard of you or don't know a lot about you.
Sure.
So easy question. How did you get into music? Like, I love figuring out how artists discover music. Most of us aren't born like, I want to do music. So tell me about that.
So actually no one in my family is a musician.
Really?
The only one. But my parents always had like a very big love of music, and especially like Motown music and all that. So I was raised with that and just loved that. Loved singing ever since I was like 5.
Okay.
Loved writing lyrics. Not that they were good.
Right.
But I actually have lyrics that I wrote when I was like 6 or 7.
Really?
Yeah. So I never really thought I would do it as a career though until high school. That's when I switched from public school to homeschooling, and I had a lot of time to delve into songwriting and actually producing my songs and like getting them out there.
Right.
And that's when I realized that God put that on my heart as a career.
Gotcha. So. And perfect segue, because the next question was going to be how, I love talking to Christian artists about how you end up saying, I want to mix my religion and my belief in God with my music. Where, like for me, so I'm a rapper, and I used to never listen to Christian rap. I just listened to like mainstream stuff. Like Lil Wayne was kind of my big introduction to rap. So far, far away from Christian hip hop. So there's always like a story about how you go from listening to like mainstream radio type stuff to like, oh, I want to make this music that incorporates my faith.
Right. Well, faith, my faith is the biggest part of me. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could not talk about it if I tried.
Right.
It inspires me the most out of anything. It's my lens for how I view the world. Mm-hmm. So when I go to write songs, even if it's about love or like, honestly, anything, it's mm-hmm. still through that lens of faith. So it just ends up being about God anyways.
Got you, got you.
Yeah, but I don't really know what I was gonna say after that.
Oh, you're fine. So, it's funny because, so before I even knew what Christian like hip hop was or like that was a genre, mm-hmm. I used to just write songs and kind of like what you said, I was just writing from my vantage point and I grew up going to church. So they kind of ended up being about God to the point where some people were like, yo, like, is this a Christian album? And I was like, it wasn't supposed to be, but I guess it is. So then that's what pushed me towards becoming like a Christian hip hop artist. But it's just funny how like we write about what we know and what's in our heart anyway.
Yeah.
So it's almost like even without the title, your music would still probably have that topic.
Mm-hmm.
So another perfect segue. So I don't know this story. I don't know if you told it, but how did you end up, like, how did you end up with RMG? Like, how did you end up around Derek? How did you go from, I'm just a girl who writes songs in my room to Derek?
So God is very funny. Mm-hmm. he really just does puts things together that you just don't think go together.
Right.
But I always loved like Christian rap, especially when I was like, you know, in middle school and high school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started making my own songs, actually Can't Save a Soul, my first song that I ever put out officially, I wanted a Christian rapper on it so mm-hmm. bad. And I was like, this is so unattainable, but having No Big Deal on it would be so cool. I was such a big fan. And I sent it through his like booking.
Right.
Yeah. Never thinking that he would respond, but he did. And he ended up being on the song. And automatically, I just got a bunch of connections in like the CHH realm.
Right.
Which I didn't set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was cool. It was my first like friendships in the industry at all, and yeah, so from there I got What Up RG on YOY
mm-hmm.
that following April, and then just a few weeks after YOY dropped, Doc Watson DM'd me on Twitter.
Wow.
I didn't know who he was,
right.
But I saw that he was the co-owner of RMG, and I knew who RMG was. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's so cool. He wants to talk to me.
You're right.
So we talked on the phone and it just kind of happened. Like, I don't think he set out to sign me at first. He was just kind of like interested in who I was and like
right.
wanted to help out with my career.
Right.
They had been looking to sign a female artist and I just ended up fitting like everything they were looking for. God really just gave me peace about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Really showed me clearly that's where he wanted me. So that's how it happens.
It is crazy enough. I feel like, especially with artists and musicians, like the stories are always so interesting where it's like, oh, this happened and then this led to this and now I'm here. And it's like, I didn't see that being the story at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's funny. So No Big Deal, he's special to me because whenever I was just writing songs that happened to be Christian based, I had no idea what Christian hip hop was. I just knew who Lecrae was kind of. And I listened to him sort of, but I didn't really know much about him. And somebody told me to listen to No Big Deal, Solar. And that, I'm always like embarrassed to say that's like my first CHH album I listened to, like really listened to, because that was so recent. That was like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is Christian hip hop. I was like, oh, I love this. Like, especially when you're outside of Christian music, you can hear it and assume it's going to sound a certain way, or it's going to be very, people like to say churchy or like preachy, to where it's like yeah. not art, it's just like preachy.
Yeah,
whereas like No Big Deal's music, I was like, this is exactly the type of music I want to make. And that kind of led me into making it. But no, that story's crazy.
Yo, 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 it's your boy YJO with Enoch Flow Records, letting you know if you need beats, engineering, graphic design, website creation, Enoch Flow is the way to go. I'ma tell you why. Beats and engineering. All beats are produced by yours truly, exclusively, with no leases. And I'll even throw engineering in there for you. Graphic design and website creation. Bring your next single, EP, or album artwork to life with DC Graphics, led by Damian Clinton, best graphic designer in the business. That's no cap. Get all these services and more only at Enoch Flow Records. Peace.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. Yes, I said it, free. Secondly, there's creation tools that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer when the inspiration hits you to record. Thirdly, Anchor will distribute your podcast, meaning it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Talk about a time saver. And last but not least, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So there you have it. Everything you need to make a podcast all in one. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Can't wait to hear what you create with Anchor.
This is a question you don't have to answer, but do you have a moment? It can be funny, it can be something that sticks out, like a Derek moment that like sticks out to you.
I have so many Derek. He really has become like my big brother.
Really?
I have so many Derek moments. I'm just trying to think of like one.
Gotcha. Okay.
So when I first signed, mm-hmm. I still am. I'm a very fearful person, like about everything. Like,
gotcha.
I can't sing high. I can't perform. I can't do anything.
Right.
And I was just thrown into this world of like established artists and like writing sessions and like things I'd never done before. I just made songs in my room and like,
right.
You know. So I signed before I ever met Derek.
Really?
And, yeah. I never met Derek till like a while after I signed, actually. Yeah. So I was just so nervous going in because I had been like a fan of him and I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah. But we got in the studio and I was just so like awkward and I was so nervous. I barely said anything. Like it was like a writing session. I'm not saying anything. I didn't want to sing in front of him. I was just like, this is just awful. But I had this crazy fear of singing high. Like I did not, I just kept in my comfort zone,
yeah,
down here because I'm an alto.
Mm-hmm.
But he just started like dragging me. He's like, oh, like you just want to sing like the Cookie Monster. You just want to sing like the Cookie Monster. So we started calling that my Cookie Monster voice.
That's hilarious.
And he really pushed me, like, he really broke that in me. Now I sing high all the time. Like, I love singing high. And that's really where my sister brought me coffee.
Very good. Good sister.
But, yeah, so now we call that my Cookie Monster voice.
Nice.
it's one of the many Derek moments of pulling something out of me.
Gotcha.
Because I am just terrified all the time.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. Especially if you went from, like you said, a girl writing songs in your room to now I'm with these people I admired already.
Yeah.
But that's why. So another perfect segue. It's like I wrote these questions perfectly. what is life on a label like? And what I mean by that is like a lot of the artists that I interview and then myself are very much so indie, where it's like, for me, I'm almost like, I feel like I want to stay indie my whole career, even if like a label approached. And then for other artists, it's just like, it's hard to get signed. So I don't get that viewpoint of like what it's like to be on a label. Like what is vague, but like what is life as an artist on a label like?
So I feel like it would probably be a more evident difference if I lived in Nashville, because I'm far away. I have a bit of a different, like, I still live in New York, so it's kind of like long distance working, but I will go down there every few months and like work with all of them. And it's really just having a team, like a team who believes in you, who always back you, who supports your dream, pushes your vision, like connects you with people. And it was really nice because before I had so many dreams and things I imagined for myself that I just thought was so unattainable.
Right.
And then you have at least good labels where RMG is definitely one of those good ones. But where they believe in you and they're like, no, we can do that. Like they let you be creative. And then, you know, the money is nice because I used to have to save up for mixing, save up for all of that stuff. Yes. And now that's all paid for, which is like really, really nice. It makes things move faster.
Right, of course.
But yeah, it's probably the biggest thing for me was just having a team, because before I was just alone.
Got you. It's kind of unfortunate because like I have noticed that label has almost become synonymous with like bad or evil to some people. Like I live on Twitter talking to artists and people. And recently someone was like, oh, like, you know, they were talking about Andy might be leaving Reach. And people were talking about that. And someone was like, well, yeah, like it's a label. All labels are bad. Eventually, I'm just like, I don't think that's the case. Like if all labels were bad, no artist would ever sign.
Yeah.
And, artists find success on labels. So like you said, good labels are supposed to do these certain things. Not all labels are good. I will say I feel like being a Christian label should at least lend you to being better to people, at least not like screwing people over. But yeah, so I think that if it's the right, you know, move for a person, that being on a label can be very helpful instead of horror stories that people hear.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite thing about being an artist, if you have just one or a couple favorite things?
I have so many favorite things. I honestly have a love-hate relationship with being an artist, it's more pros than cons.
Okay.
I love meeting artists. Like being in the art world is so fun because you just get to meet artists all the time. Yeah. And artists are just some of like the coolest people.
That's a fact.
They just think differently. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel like not such a weirdo.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, more other people think like this, not just me. So that's really nice. And then art has always just been something that I feel like draws people in. Like it just is such a unique thing and platform to share whatever you want, and in a way that's more approachable than like, I don't know, like a class that people come to. You don't realize that like the music you listen to really affects like your life. But I think just having like a platform to actually say stuff that matters is really cool.
That's a fact.
Really, really cool. Yeah.
I'll try to tell artists, like, no matter how big or small their platform is, like, you have one if you're an artist. Like, even if it's, like, five people listening, like, you can say whatever you want, and people are going to receive that, and it can impact them in a certain way. I think that's one of the best things about being an artist is it's, like, I talk about how you can use your music to get a message across that you might not be able to just talking to somebody, whether that's confidence, whether you don't have to be right in front of somebody. If I'm rapping in a microphone, I'm talking to my microphone, and then you're just hearing what I'm saying to my microphone rather than have to sit down and explain, this is how I feel, or this is how this is. And you, like, tell me if I'm wrong, but you come off as shy, but like you're very Like, your music's powerful, I'd say. Like, you don't come off shy in your music. Does that make sense? Yeah.
People tell me that all the time when they meet me and they don't know I do music. Uh-huh. And they listen to, like, Higher. They're like, yeah. How are you the same person?
Right, yeah.
It's funny.
No, that's funny. So what, conversely, is something that you're like, I hate this about being an artist. If I never had to do this again, I wouldn't miss it.
How it's just not very reliable as a creator.
I feel that. Like,
you know, if you go to college, at least most of the time, hopefully, let's say to be a nurse or a doctor, you know, you can get a job and live off of that.
Right.
But being an artist, it's always just like, I wasting my time? Am I never going to make money off of this? Because it's a lot of investing before. I mean, that's with any business that you start. It's really like you're starting your own business.
Right.
But you're the product. So.
Yeah, marketing yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Having to do that constantly is like just that battle in yourself. I'm all the time like, should I just go to college? But I know it'll be worth it because then I do have the freedom of my schedule and like everything like that. And I love making art. I would hate to be stuck in a 9-to-5 my whole life.
Trust me. Completely feel you.
Yeah. But it is also nice. A 9-to-5 is reliable. So it's that like love hate thing.
True.
Then also, I am an introvert and I am an insecure person. I'm working through that. But like constantly having to be in front of people, like having to be so present on social media is very draining for me.
Like, I feel that.
If I wasn't an artist, I would delete social media.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be on there.
You know what's really funny about that is like, so I'm the exact opposite, but like with you, I can tell that. Like you tweeted, you released your last song, which we'll talk about. You tweeted like, how you guys like feeling about the song? And in my head, I'm like, I don't even think she wants to be on this app, like asking me people about this. Like,
I don't. I really don't. I just like, I know it's necessary now for any artist to be on social media unless you're like a big established artist.
Right.
Just, like, I hate it.
Like people.
I just don't know what to say. Okay, here's the thing. I'm a deep thinker. Like, I can't just, like, whenever I overthink everything. So I'll type out so many tweets that I'm like, is this really wise to post? And then I just delete it. And so it's just like a constant thing like that. That's more why I don't like, I love that social media connects people and that kind of thing. Like, I like people. I love when people DM me or stuff and that they love my music and I get to talk to them. And it's like really cool. But having to put myself out there constantly, like, I don't have a very like big personality to like do that. I'm not funny. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, like, I just like, yeah, I just don't like it. I overthink everything.
Absolutely.
If I had like, so if I had a photographer or if I knew how to do photography, which I kind of want to get into, or like film, I love that creative side of social media, like Instagram, where you could like,
post
like that kind of content. Eventually, I'll probably end up having a page more like that, but I'm kind of working towards that because, like, what do you post a selfie? Like, I don't, like, I just don't like it. I don't like it.
That's funny. No, I completely feel you. I was blessed with being, I call myself like an extroverted introvert or like an extrovert with social anxiety. Like, I love being on apps for a certain amount of time. So even if I wasn't an artist, I'd probably still be on at least Twitter. Instagram's a little tougher because like I don't like posting pictures of myself and I don't like telling people like my answer to my own question would be I hate promoting music in certain ways. Like I like posting a clip or like a video, but I hate being like, pre-save this song and
I know.
How do you guys feel about this? And
it's annoying.
It's so fake. Like, I wouldn't actually be doing this. Like, hey, don't forget the pre-save. Like, I don't like when people do that to me. Where it's like, I'm not gonna pre-save this, bro. Like, can you talk to me like a regular person? Like, but I still love being an artist. So I think that's the thing, is you wouldn't quit it because of these things. So it's worth it. Deeper question. So, what would you say your reason, aside from, I guess, wanting to make a living off it, like, is for making music? Like, what are your goals when you make music? Like, for me, the main thing I am doing when I write songs is, like, it's cathartic for me and it makes me feel better. So even if I had no listenership, I'd still always write and record songs. So what would you say your reason is for making music?
That's pretty similar to me. I just can't help myself. Mm-hmm. That's how I think. I think in song lyrics. Every time I'm going through something, I'm just like, I just write it out in my notes as like song lyrics. But honestly, the reason I'm doing it as a career, mm-hmm. one is because I really feel God called me to it, or I wouldn't do it as a career. That's just like flat out. And I would do anything but just not my cup of tea. But honestly, just taking back, like, making quality art that is good. Like, like your kids could listen to it.
Right.
Grandma could listen to it.
Right.
Anyone could listen to it. I was talking to my mom about this actually, but the first attribute that God ever revealed about himself was that he's a creator.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, God created. And the fact that Christians, a lot of the time, they make the cheesiest art because they don't make it based off of reality. They make it based off of like what they want reality to be. So I want to like make really quality art that just shows off God, really, in a way that anyone would listen to it. They would never be like, oh, that's so cheesy. And I'm not setting out honestly to be like a Christian artist,
mm-hmm.
But I can't help myself. Again, like, I love writing about Jesus, but I also love writing about relationships, mm-hmm. and everything. So, well, there's not really a lane for that right now, but with Spotify, I feel like there will be, because now there's just genres for everything.
Every single thing, yeah.
Everything.
Do that.
So, yeah.
Like, you made like such a good point about how you want it to be able to be listened to by everybody. Like, the big conundrum of being a CHH artist is that it almost feels like you're preaching to the choir, where it's like, I'm a Christian making this Christian song for Christians to listen to who already believe in Christ. And it's like, if I make anything that is out of that bubble, Christian fans will get frustrated or mad and be like, why is this song about, let's say, police brutality, or about something else that's about life instead of just about church? And it's like, well, I'm not going to reach anybody who doesn't already believe in that. Like, perfect example, I had a conversation with a friend about how they were like, which album do you think had a better chance of bringing someone to Christ? We didn't really word it that way, but it was like Kanye's Jesus is King or Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so have you heard Jesus is King? You might not have heard that. Okay, so I had a feeling. So that album, while it was very explicitly Christian, probably didn't reach a lot of people who weren't already Christians, because it was very like, it was quoting scripture, it was making biblical references. If you were someone that had never gone to church, you might be like, I don't get this. Whereas like Kendrick's album is about someone who used to be in the streets doing things like gang affiliated things, and eventually like found God after learning his lesson, like losing friends and that type of thing. So while both are good, it's like one might have the potential to reach people who aren't already believers. But a lot of fans in CHH might be like, well, that album is terrible because it didn't like reference the Bible this many times, or didn't say Jesus this many times. So I feel like it's important to be able to reach other people.
Definitely. I feel like there's beauty in both.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to know what type of artist you are, where God's calling you. Because there's people I'm going to reach that you're never going to reach. You're going to reach that I'm never going to reach. That's just like how it goes.
Right.
And, I just wish that fans, because they automatically, that people love to just like put you in a box, like automatically. So that's why I just try not to like label myself as anything. I'm just letting my music speak for itself. Because as soon as you say label yourself as something, you're stuck in that forever.
Yeah, seriously. though.
Yeah, I wish fans would just have a bit more leniency with like, you know, music.
You're an artist.
Yeah, because it's not like, okay, you sign up as a Christian artist and now you're a pastor.
Right. Like,
no.
You can talk like, about that for an hour. That's how they treat it.
Yeah, that is. Like, I'm not a pastor. Like,
right.
I'm a musician.
Exactly. So. Look at that. Another perfect segue. I'm telling you, like, these questions are really perfectly going into each other. So, I didn't get a chance to look into this, but I saw you posted it a couple times on your story. So you got to do a devotional for, was it the Bible app, correct? Yes. Can you explain that to me and what exactly that was and what that was like?
Sure. So I guess my label has some connection to some people for who work for the YouVersion Bible app. Mm-hmm. And I guess I love writing. Actually, I might pursue a career as a writer as well under like a different name or something.
Okay.
As it's just my outlet. I don't want my music fans to know my writing.
You're writing.
But they asked if I wanted to write a devotional for my song, which I did for, I did for my Christmas song. But it ended up being such a blessing, and I really thought that little things, like my song Little Things, could so easily be translated into a devotional, because it's all about thankfulness and just seeing God's love for you and the little things in life, too.
That song is great, by the way.
Thank you so much.
I was listening to it today.
Thank you. So I was able to write that, and I really enjoyed it. God always teaches me so much when I sit down to write
that.
I, in and of myself, I'm like, I don't know what to say.
Right.
But, like, what do I have to offer anybody? But for actually both of my devotionals, I looked back in my journals. I journal every day, but pulled out of there whatever God was teaching me, and I just kind of... Because I feel like a lot of devotionals on there... a lot of devotionals in general are very like fluffy.
Yeah.
And they're just fluffy. Like I read it and I'm just like, okay, like I knew that. But I wanted something that was really tangible, like that would resonate. That's like real life. Mm-hmm. Like I felt this way just like a few weeks ago. I felt like I'm just going through the motions of life and I don't have time for people anymore. I don't, like, I'm a Christian. I go to church on Sundays, but like, I don't know. You go through the motions. You're not excited about life anymore. You're just going to work. You come home, watch Netflix, whatever you do. And I was really coming back to like enjoying life again, being excited again, and just like loving art again, loving music again. And I wanted to share that with people because I feel like a lot of people feel like that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share the way that I got there, got back to that place of excitement. And that's really what the devotional is about.
Very dope and very relatable. Again, like you said, instead of it being fluffy, it's kind of like real life, because no matter how Christian you are, like we all go through real life. Like to me, to this day, the best and most important song I ever wrote was called Stuck. And it was about how I ended up on antidepressants and how anxiety affected my life. And it didn't stream the most. It wasn't, no one would say it's my best song other than me, except for the handful of people that are like, yo, this song 1,000% speaks to me. The church doesn't love to talk about anxiety and depression a lot. It's usually a lot of, oh, just pray. You're not praying hard enough and it'll go away if you pray. When it's like, nah, like I am literally to this day still on medication. I feel like God led me to find that medication. And I wanted to make a song about it that other people could relate to, instead of it being like super, you know, instead of a song that's very just kind of like praise God, but it's not really relating to anybody. It's just kind of.
Yeah. You know what I love, which I just realized about the Psalms, is that every single time, almost all the Psalms start off with the struggle of like real life, and then it ends in like praise to God, because like he brings himself like back there.
Right.
But he doesn't just start off like, oh, life is wonderful. It's wonderful. Praise God. Like it's a struggle to like get to that place of like, no, like life does suck and whatever, but God is good.
Yeah. You said you don't think you're funny, but you're funny in a unique way, I'll say. question that I've asked everybody, and hopefully I don't have to keep asking this question because it'll go away. But how has the pandemic affected you as a musician specifically, and just like life outside of music? But yeah, how has it specifically affected you as an artist over the last year?
It's actually been great.
I feel you.
Like, that sounds bad, but...
No, I get it.
At first, the first month, I was kind of a bit, like, okay, like, reset. But it kind of... So, I'm terrified of performing.
I can relate.
To ever perform, and I was about to, like...
Really? Start.
Yeah, never.
What?
Never.
Shocking.
Terrified, but it's coming as soon as I open up again. Actually planning something, which I could talk about later, but so it kind of helped in a way, because I was like, oh cool, like that's pushed off a while. So I started, in that time I started performance coaching. V Rose, actually.
Oh, very dope.
Jamie, she's so cool. So I really got to hone in on my craft more, because for a while I was just running, and then I had time where I just had to stay home.
Right.
And so I started writing songs again, trying to like work with random artists that like producers and stuff that I've never had the chance to. And like, I think everyone was so, because they're so pent up, like they have so much creativity that they just do stuff. Make stuff.
Yeah.
So I was able to connect with a lot of other artists and like just make stuff. And it's actually funny, because my first two music videos, Little Things music video is coming out very shortly, but they both were filmed during like the pandemic. So that didn't really stop that. It did change the plans for the music video, but all ended up working out in the end. So all in all, it kind of really helped me grow as an artist, which I thought it was going to have the opposite effect.
Exactly.
It ended up being cool. And the music aspect and my life aspect, kind of stuff. I mean, things for everyone, but New York is like...
Oh, yeah. Y'all are like the hub.
Yeah, we get like shut down. Like, yeah, so... That kind of stunk. We're starting to open up now, but I was like a waitress here, so that kind of stunk.
Yeah, that stopped a year of work. Yeah,
stopped everything. But I mean, it just, when you're a young adult, you want to like go out and do stuff, and it kind of stinks. Like when you, because I mean, I don't have that many friends at all, to be honest. I'm like
homeschooled, right? So now I was playing.
It really did have. I used to be an extrovert. And then I got homeschooled.
Oh man,
personality changed. And I want to stay home. But yeah, I just started wanting to go out and make friends and like forget this homebody thing. Yeah. Let me live my life, and then psych, everything is shut down.
Yeah, pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm definitely more of an introvert now, but I do think, so it's been a consensus amongst most of the artists I interview that some, in some way, shape or form, the pandemic helped them as an artist. It makes you sit down, it makes you work on things. You can't make excuses like I like recording, but in my mind, I always like procrastinate where I'm like, there's this verse I want to record, and it's like, and I know I want to do it, but I just don't want to do it. Like, I'll do it next week. And like,
yeah,
no excuse. I'm like staring at my, like, I don't. So for artists that have studios that they go to, it was hard on them, but like, I record like right over there.
Yeah.
So I had no excuse. I'm just like, okay, I'll just walk 10 feet over there and record this because I have nowhere to be. Mm-hmm. That being said, I do hope this ends very soon because I'm sick of my apartment. But this show was birthed from the pandemic, so I guess that's a benefit.
Blessing.
Let's see. So, last little section. What? So you just dropped. You dropped little things like, was it a week ago? 2 weeks ago?
About like a week and a half ago.
Right. So what are your plans for the rest of this year music wise, if you have anything else planned out for the rest of the year?
A few more singles, then probably going into project mode next year, but a few more singles.
Okay.
And music videos.
Right.
Everything I'm working on, we decided not to put into a project because every single song is just like, it sounds big. It's like, it deserves spotlight. So we wanted to kind of air them out a bit. I'm definitely going to be releasing more than I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, we have a few lined up and stuff I'm really, really excited about. I've been working on some like pretty big things, and I feel like I'm finally making, like, becoming the artist that I dreamed about. I wish I could just like share everything with everybody already, because I don't know what I've been sitting on for like a year now.
I won't tell anybody. Tell me.
But at least the Little Things music video I could talk about. That's actually the painting that's
gonna be.
But the Little Things music video is really cool, because I got to, just like, my vision came to life for it. I've been connecting with a lot of cool artists in New York finally, because I didn't know anyone here.
Right.
But my sister is a painter, and she was an apprentice at this art studio that her teacher was the guy who painted this. Kevin McAvoy. He's amazing artist. He's a Christian. Super cool. And we always wanted to collaborate on something. So we kind of wanted to play off of the pre-chorus where it says, we see what's on the portrait, you see what's in the man.
Mm-hmm.
Little Things. So it's kind of revolves around that in the music video. I don't want to share anything else, but it's so cool. Like, it was just like a dream come true, the whole music video. I just can't wait for it to be out.
So it said, you said soon?
Very soon, yes. Probably next week. Gonna see some things.
Well, I'm definitely excited. I think I listen to everything you drop. I think it's because you are a far contrast from everything I listen to. Like, I'm a hip hop head through and through. Like, I listen to rap, like, not even like the trap stuff that's out, like lyrical, boom bap, that type of thing. So I like R&B a ton, but I have to like force myself to get away from the rap. Like, although it's not that hard, I like SZA a ton. So I listen to SZA over any rapper. That's what I need to ask you. What singers do you like? Who are like some of your favorite singers, Christian or otherwise?
Snow Allegra.
I saw you say that, and that's really dope because I like her too.
Yes, she's kind of been my inspiration lately musically for my stuff that's you haven't heard yet.
Right.
But I love how she has so much live instrumentation and just like, has that aspect of like old but new. I honestly don't listen to that many artists that are like current. Like,
right.
A lot of old.
Like,
I listen to like Louis Armstrong and like Ella Fitzgerald, James.
Yeah.
Yeah, like very not current. But I guess current, I honestly listen to a lot of like Korean R&B.
Really?
they're on like a really cool wave, to be honest.
Right.
But I listen to so, I probably listen to rap the least, which is really funny. Because I'm on like a hip hop label, but
right.
And I love rap, but I just like, I listen to some, I love listening to like different like ethnic music.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I love African music, like actually African music. I've been listening to a lot of artists from like Uganda lately. Like French music is such a vibe.
Like, I really feel bad about myself.
Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
I don't know. Like, I just love, like, listening to all different types of music. And it's kind of a struggle, though, because then when I come to my music, I just want to pull from so many different places. And I'm like, this just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's going to be every continent. That's dope, though. Because just even having the ability to pull something from different cultures is how a lot of other cool stuff gets made, so...
Definitely.
You only listen to like the top 10 like pop hits, like that's what all your music will sound like. So
yeah, it's true.
Well, yeah, we definitely ran over, but I knew we would. So last thing, tell the people how they can find you, even though you don't like being on social media. How can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Daniela Pacella, on Twitter at Pacella Music, and Spotify, Daniela Pacella, but I most active on Instagram, probably.
There we go. So thank you again for joining me. I might have to have you on here again later, because this is probably, I end up saying this after each one I do, but this has definitely been my favorite one so far. At the end of every episode, I have to shout out Daryl from Bookkeeper, because he believed in me and gave me this show and let me do the thing that I love doing, which is talking. So thank you, Daryl. And thanks everybody watching. I will see y'all next time. Peace. And so what guys are on someone? Wait, why
don't
you say watching it go from
no shield, no protector. If you send bullets, they gon' heat up.
Yeah.
He
had smoke from salt and pepper. So it was
all right, it's 15 years.